Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Okay, so we are in our final episode of our motivation. What do we call it? Content.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about the motivator of value. And this is actually, I don't know what the right word is, you guys. I want to say the most positive or...
I'd say it's strongest. Higher success rate.
Yeah. I actually, I like that you brought that up because there is a lot of research that shows that we do better when we tie things to our values.
Mm-hmm.
And this concept is that our values, when we set a goal, if we can tie them to our values, it interchanges kind of that sense of self and some of those higher level constructs of our life, and we can start to put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about some of the, I really liked some of the information that came out. Schwartz, he did some work that came out and actually separated some of the types of values we have and how they interact with each other. And from there, a lot of research around motivation has come out and really started some of the goal setting and self-development programs that we have out there. So there's a lot of it that comes into our understanding and the way that we look at setting goals that is maybe newer than our attitudes coming from fear or benefit that we've talked about in our previous episodes.
Values is a better foundation for motivation and for long-lasting change because we're not relying on doing what looks good and feels good. Sometimes doing what we value can be uncomfortable, it can be hard, but the reward is on the other end of it. Doing something because of an outcome that we want, or something that feels good, or because we're afraid or in pain, is very short lasting. It doesn't stick around for very long, but doing something because we value it will keep us in it for longer, regardless of what's happening in the moment. Values can be something like honesty or peace or the other similar words like that, or it can be something involving a higher power. It can also be people. When people are a value, it can be a little trickier because then we want to put boundaries that are based on people. Like, I go to bed when my wife goes to bed. Well, what if your wife stays up late? What if your wife is out of town? What if your wife is in the hospital? If you're basing your boundaries or, you know, your values around a person, people change. What if people are gone? What if people unfortunately die? What happens to your motivation or your boundaries when people aren't around?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Schwartz did in his work was to come up with kind of areas of values to examine. And the areas that he came up with, I'm just going to give you, there were 10 of them. So universalism, kind of how do you feel like you are in the world? Benevolence is the next one, kind of how we feel, how do we interact with other people? Conformity,
mm-hmm.
tradition, security, power, achievement, pleasure. This is brings in the idea of hedonism or the idea of, am I doing it for fun or it's not fun, so I'm not doing it? Or do I just enjoy personal development, stimulation, and self-directed experiences? So he actually did a really good job of kind of doing that. And there's research been done on his work that says that if we look at why people don't do things, it can be tied to their values. And the three he said that are usually tied to performance avoidance are security, tradition, and conformity, right? So we're afraid and we're very afraid of other people. And then the things that move us into positive performance are the idea of achievement, power, goal-orientedness. But actually even more powerful than that is the idea of stimulation. We want to grow and learn. How do we interact with the world? I thought it was interesting in some of the research that he did to show that some of our values might actually keep us from moving forward, and some of us will move us forward. And that's because part of our nature as human is to conserve things as they are. It's just, we've talked about it before, it's just easier not to change. Not always more beneficial, but it takes less energy to keep doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of those fall into the previous categories we talked about of pain and fear versus reward versus foundation of a chosen value system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that you brought up the value system, because some value systems then will point to certain types of goals being met. And I feel like that comes up a lot in therapy, is that someone's value system is doing a lot of influencing in their life for positive or negative. You see that in recovery when people go into a group or culture setting. Sometimes they can, if it's positive and they're all moving toward it, they'll move faster together, and vice versa, if they're all moving further away from recovery of some sort, they'll move faster away.
Mm-hmm. I think when most people hear value system, they think religion. I remember a job interview after I graduated was with an inpatient center, and the person asked me, what do I do when people don't have a value or don't have values? And I asked him what he meant, because everyone values something. And he said, well, what if they're not religious? And I said, well, people will still value things even if they don't have a religion or they don't subscribe to a faith. And he's like, no, I'm asking, what if they don't have values? Like, what if they're not religious? And I said, yeah, those are two different things. People cannot be religious and still value honesty. They can still value safety. They can still value, I listed some more values. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, exactly. If they're not religious, what if they don't value those things? And I said, again, just because they don't subscribe to scriptures or to a religion doesn't mean they don't value honesty, doesn't mean they don't value safety, doesn't mean they don't value relationships. Values and religion don't go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And he and I were coming from such different perspectives.
Yeah.
He was so ingrained in the idea that religion is values that he didn't get where I was coming from. And I said, you know, I don't think this is going to work out, but thank you so much for your time.
Well, and I think that let's just bring that back to motivation, right? It's this idea that unless I'm doing it for the greater good, or unless I'm doing it for this specific faith base, you know, that's the only one I can use them. And it's, you know, you're talking about values, which we've kind of gone over a lot. And it's this idea of, okay, when it applies to motivation, you know, you can have values that don't have to be because I'm part of this really, grounded, or, you know, this really like deep meaning religious belief that I'm motivated. I can just be motivated for my values based off of like the values I picked, right? It doesn't have to be part of the whole of an organization that is saying that's why I'm motivated. That makes it why that it's okay to be motivated in that way. I'm doing it because I just believe in this one thing, or I believe in these two things, or whatever it is. And I just feel like I need to, you know, have my actions and my motivation be based off those values that I'm picking. And so, and I think it's an interesting thing when it comes to that discussion of, are my values coming from things that I believe in, or because of a organization or group that I've been part of? I think it's important to remember too, that we're just saying values in general are motivators. We're not saying that, you know, if you want to listen to our other podcasts about what values are, then you can help decide what those values are. Where are they coming from? They're coming from me? Are they coming from an organization? Where it's coming from? But an important thing to remember when it comes to this idea of motivation, we're just stating it can be in a religious group. It can be on your own. It doesn't matter, as long as it's part of your value base. And some people look at it and say, well, unless it's part of this really you know, helpful organization, your values aren't really going to help you be motivated. It's not the case, right? If I don't want to drink, it's not just going to be because I adhere to a religion. Like, you know, there's certain, you know, groups of Christianity that don't believe in drinking. There's, you know, certain groups of Islam, certain groups of Judaism. There's all these different like groups that have certain health codes of what they should or shouldn't do. That's great. If I don't want to do it because of that, my values are coming from there. I could also have a value of, you know, I just personally don't like the feeling, or I personally don't, you know, I value physical health. And for me, physical health means not putting anything like that into my body, you know? And so we're not saying it has to be associated with any specific grouping or anything like that. Your values can just be because it's something you value. And if you don't know what your values are, go back to that episode. And then we can kind of discuss where those are rooting from.
As you're talking,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, as you're talking about that, Haley, I'm thinking of the term conformity, because some people really value fitting in and those kinds of things in what may, some people may perceive as a healthy value system. They can really struggle in that value system if conformity is the goal versus growth. Mm-hmm. And so you do see some people jumping, especially this reminds me of teenagers, right? This is whole identity development experience. They jump in and out of value systems to find out what fits them and what works. And so sometimes we'll find that a value system may be healthy or may not be healthy, but the people in it aren't necessarily the example of that, because everyone in it might be in it for a different reason. And again, conformity, meaning just showing up and looking like everyone else or doing what everyone else is doing, is not a powerful value for change. It's actually a powerful value for fixed mindset, is really, you know, if we go back to what that is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people use religion or feel that their religion is the basis of their values, when their religion really fits under the fear and pain category or the desire for something category, because they fear divine punishment or they're hoping for a divine reward. And it's really not because they value what their religion and faith teaches. What happens then is that they're not really valuing being a good person like their religion teaches, or being more like the higher power that their religion teaches about. They're just really scared about these divine punishments, or they're really more interested in a divine reward, but usually it's more about divine punishments. And I think it's really highlighted when a religious person, or what a religious person thinks about an atheist. Mm-hmm. And they often think the atheists, like that interview I had, don't have values. Ricky Gervais has a little clip in a show where someone finds out he's an atheist. They say, so you don't believe in God? You don't believe in heaven or hell? Like, what keeps you from going around raping and murdering all you want? It's like, well, I do rape and murder all I want, which is none. I don't want to.
Yeah, I think just to give the same example from a different perspective, the same thing with health. Some people want the benefits of the health. They'll say, like, I value health, but they really just want to look good. But they don't actually value being healthy. They just value the benefit or the punishment, right? I don't want to get, you know, socially rejected or punishment or feel some of those things, or I want the reward. And again, that goes back to benefit or those earlier things, versus my motivation is truly the idea of health and mm-hmm. and healing. And so just from a different perspective of people, like, I don't see it from any other perspective. I think that might add something for people. So what would we say then to kind of take this from where we've been to move it into how do you not identify your values, because we do have that other podcast, but how do you use values to motivate?
I think it goes back to this idea of, you know, you have values, you've done the work to identify them. Let's say we can skip those steps. Are the things...
Well, you shouldn't skip the steps, but we're skipping those steps in this.
We're skipping, yes, yes. Yeah. We personally are skipping those steps in this, because we could copy and paste that whole episode right in, and that'd be great, but we're not going to. I say you move past that, and then once you've done the work to identify what are the things that really are the values I have, then we look at this idea of, am I using them or am I just letting them be on this nice little shelf where I've identified my values, but they're just kind of sitting there, right? They're going to be as useful as you put them into practice. They're going to be really nice if you just keep them sitting on the shelf, right? It's kind of like those people who have like those candles in their bathroom that they've never lit, but they're really nice and they just sit there, right? And as someone who used to have those, and then I realized for me, I was like, this is insane. I'm going to start lighting things on fire and appropriately.
That was her value.
And that was my values, lighting things on fire. Now, some clients are probably listening going, yeah, she really does like to light things on fire. Emotionally.
Me too, Haley.
Me too. It's all good. But I would say, are my values being used? And am I helping them get, am I helping that, my motivation by putting in my values and help, like having them be essentially like almost like a gas to get my motivation going? Like, am I using them for that purpose? Or am I just keeping them on the shelf and saying, oh, look at my values. They're so pretty. Like, they're just there. They're nice. They get stale though. I mean, values get stale. And then we realize that we kind of have to like re-identify values every so often. And I think by using them for motivation, we more quickly identify when have my values changed. Because then we start realizing my motivation isn't working as well when a value isn't quite meaning the same to me as it did before. And so I would say if I'm not using my values and my motivation, if I'm not using them as a working piece of my life, that's a good thing to start. That's a good thing to look at and say, why am I not? And then from there, we get to kind of go into it and look at it and say, okay, if I am using them, then vice versa, am I, then it becomes a symbiotic relationship where then I'm able to say, are my values helping my motivation? And then it's also saying, is my motivation helping grow my values? Is it doing the opposite? And so, but we first have to see like, which part are we going to start doing? And then are we following up on that? Or are we just keeping those nice little things like our motivation nicely jarred on a shelf or our values nicely and lit on a shelf? Like, are they just kind of sitting there? And if we're not using them to help the other, we're really wasting space.
For me, it comes down to two things. What we said in an earlier episode, that motivation is really commitment. It's not about a feeling. And that values really need to come down to priorities. We need to be able to crystallize our priorities into the top 3 to 7 priorities so that we know, do we value life more than integrity? Do we value integrity more than conformity, whatever it might be? Because when push comes to shove, are we going to value being honest, or are we going to value being conforming to a group? Or are we going to value holding our personal boundaries more than keeping peace in a group? Or if we value a higher power, are we going to follow or do what keeps our relationship with a higher power more than conforming to a group? Sorry, conforming, since we were just talking about that, was really stuck in my mind right now. Or if our priorities are people, like we talked about, that can be tricky, or maybe it's that you're valuing the relationship. What relationships do we prioritize more? Do we prioritize our romantic partner? Do we prioritize our kids? And lots of people are really quick to say, well, I prioritize my romantic partner over my kids. Or they have it the other way around. And so if you say, okay, what happens in this scenario? Your partner is hurting your children. What do you do then? Well, obviously I take my kids out. Like, well, you said you prioritize your partner, but if you're choosing your kids over your partner, does that really mean that you're prioritizing your partner? And so you have to start to really think about different scenarios, because if there's a scenario where you choose one priority over another, that's the priority, that's the value that's on the higher end of the priority list. And so when we get really clear about the top few priorities that we have, that will help make decisions for us ahead of time that we can commit to, and it makes decisions much easier for us in the moment that we can hold boundaries to.
As we're talking about things, I'm thinking about how therapy fits into this process of moving motivation into values. And I think often I have people come into therapy and they are saying, hey, what I'm doing in my life, my behavior doesn't match what I value. I say I love my family, but I happen to be doing things that are destroying my family. And often that comes because other needs have not been met. Those basic needs that, you know, if you go to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you don't feel safe, secure, even if you have moved out of a trauma situation, you still have to remind your body you're safe and secure so you can then move into the values that you want to have. And so, for example, if you do love your kids or you love your spouse, but you find, gosh, I'm being a jerk to them all the time because I'm constantly triggered. That's when you would say, okay, then I need to do, if I do love them, then I use that as the motivation to do my work and to heal, not as the motivation to say, well, then everything I do must be loving. And so I'm actually yelling at my kids out of love. Don't do that. That's called shame screening versus moving things forward. So just give yourself permission to say, you might say, there are some things in my life that are out of alignment. I know for me right now, I feel like there's a lot of pressures in my life. And so there are some things where I'm like, gosh, what is the most important thing I need to accomplish every day? And there are things that are falling by the wayside that are maybe secondary or tertiary values for me. But also one of the things that I'm focusing on is how do I get back to feeling like I have more peace and harmony in my life so I can work on those bigger goals. And so that's one of the ways I see it fitting into therapy. What would you say, Haley? Do you want to pass?
I think with that question, it's almost loaded because I'm like, I feel like it's like one of those questions of like, what does red and blue mean? Like, you know, purple, you know, it's just, there's an answer. Because I think when you say like, what do I see fitting into, all of this fits into therapy. I don't see any specific line where it's like, oh yeah, you could put this in therapy. I think let's just pull it back. We've kind of pulled our lens into specifically motivation, but let's just pull it back a little bit and look at the idea of therapy. Like any of this fits in it, right? Talking about like Taylor's brought up religion. A lot of people might be like, oh, that's something I talked to my pastor, or I talked to my clergy member, or I talked to my bishop or whoever, right? My rabbi. You can talk about that with your therapist. Like, I think it's less about with this motivation, like what can I talk about with my therapist in this scenario? And I'd say like, go into that uncomfortableness with your therapist and talk about any of this with it. What is my blockage of motivation in my job, my religion, my congregation, or my spirituality as a whole, not just religion, and my values and how they associate with that? Like, let's just pull that back on a more macro lens and look at that and say, like, honestly, I think some people think like I only talked about my emotions and values in therapy when it comes to like these kind of nice little sparkly things of how do I kind of, you know, get my Brené Brown experience every week and then I move on. But I think you're mentioning some things that like, I think all of it, right? And even what Taylor was saying too about motivation when it comes to like spirituality and things like that, like all of that goes into therapy. And if we aren't having the moment to talk about our values in their entirety in therapy, I think the better question then is, why am I reluctant to do so? Is that a me thing or is it just not a good environment? And maybe I need to find a different one.
I love that because I completely agree. I believe that the mm-hmm. values conversation is just a part of therapy. It's not a type of therapy, right? You're not going to go be like, I need to find a values therapist, right? You need to find a therapist who can understand and help you apply your values.
Which we see that, I think, in more in different things. I'm bringing this up because there's a couple of laws being proposed in Utah. There are some already about life coaches and things like that, but to better identify what are the things you talk about with a therapist and what are the things you talk about with other outside sources, other professionals. Yeah. And this is one where it's like, if a therapist can't talk to you about your values and talk to you about those, I would seriously suggest getting a new therapist. That's a basic function. And if I don't feel comfortable determining if I can identify my values and how they interact with my motivation, yeah, look at some other options, talk to some other people. That is such a basic topic that, especially when it comes to motivation, I mean, think about when someone comes to an office, they're not coming in, they're like, you know, my life's going pretty good. got nothing to talk about. They're usually coming in because they have a goal in mind. I want to do something. Why am I not doing it? Or I've had this goal for forever. Why am I not able to succeed? That's all about motivation. You need someone who's going to sit there and help you troubleshoot why. And values is a huge way that we can get motivation going. And if they're not able to do that, that's a whole different topic and issue you now have on your hands, right? And I'm not here to say like, then they're a bad therapist, but I would say maybe they're just not a good fit with what your needs are in that moment, right? So going back to that idea of motivation and the values work entailed in that, we need to make sure that we're seeing those two as complementary to each other and that we're using them as much as we can.
I think it's important to recognize that any therapist can help you explore your values, like you were saying, Jen and Haley. You don't need a therapist that shares your religious system. I've worked with people that came from faiths I hadn't heard of previously.
Yeah.
A therapist's job is just to be curious, like, okay, you know, tell me about that. What does it mean? How are you living up to that? A therapist's job is just to point out discrepancies between what we're sharing and how we're living. Like, okay, so you said that you believe this and you said you're doing this. Help me understand how those go together. Or, you know, you said you believe this. What would you like to do about it? That's all a therapist's job is to help you clarify what you want and what you're doing.
A therapist's job is not to have you be the guinea pig who teaches them about your religion too, though. And so along with what you're saying, like, I've worked with clients who I've never heard of their religion before, and I've heard of many, and I've had to do my own research to be like, okay, you know, there isn't a therapist who specifically handles this type of religious difficulty. So really this is, you know, it's not that it's outside my wheelhouse. I got to prep myself, but you make sure when you're identifying those things, if your therapist does not share the same values as you do, that is totally fine. Like Taylor said, you don't need to educate them and be the Wikipedia for your therapist about that. You can be the one who, if they're like, well, how does that apply to you? Or, you know, if they're asking like, oh, tell me a little bit more about that belief system, right? That's completely within the wheelhouse of a therapist to do it. But, you know, there's always that line of, if I feel like I don't have someone to talk to who's in the same level as I am, there are also therapists out there who have not identified their own values. We've worked in places where that is quite apparent, that values have not been identified for themselves and they want to tell everyone else where their values are. I'm just going to put that on my head that I said that out loud. But it is a situation where in that kind of scenario, you can suss it out pretty quickly as the client. And I've had clients come to me and be like, I was seeing, you know, so-and-so and I could tell they had a lot of their own work. And we're humans too. And sometimes we don't feel that for ourselves at times. And that's totally okay. But as a therapist, we learn to put that on the side. And we learn to do the work so that we can come to our clients and say, hey, values work. Not just here's how I did it. That's not necessarily what I need to be doing. But values work. It's important because of this, this, and this. And in the background, I'm knowing it's important because I did it. And I know what it feels like. And, you know, we just... when it comes to that kind of stuff, this just comes full circle of what is the experience that you're having in that moment. Because you could have someone parenting all this information to you, but you need someone who you can ask questions to and be able to, like, if it feels like it's a supportive thing in the moment.
One of the things that I think it's important to add to that is if you do say, I feel like I want a therapist who does share my value system, I think that would be helpful. That's not necessarily wrong. But if the therapist there is attempting to help you conform to the value system the way they see it, that's considered unethical. It's something we teach very early on and look for in supervision. So it's not a therapist's job to tell you what your value system should be or your belief system should be or tell you if you've done something wrong. So if, for example, we do share the value of maybe not cheating on your spouse, it's still not my job as a therapist to ever say, whoa, you totally like sinned there. Like, that's not the role of a therapist.
Or to go talk to the spouse.
Right. Or to do that. My role is to say, tell me tell me what that, how that's working for you in your value system.
And how really is that helping your motivation? Yeah.
Yeah. And what you'll find is the other thing is that we, as you look for a therapist, you want to find a therapist who their values are about helping people and not about power. Cause sometimes we do run into a lot of therapist trauma when we run into therapists whose value is power, and that's either authority, social recognition, or wealth. And that's when we see people get in big trouble as therapists. So just pay attention to that idea of, you know, there's good ways to use values and there are harmful ways to use values. And I think Taylor did a great job earlier of bringing up that if it drives from fear, it's, again, it's fear and not values.
It's not going to help with the motivation overall.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook @FateResilience. We would love to hear from you.